So the gospel text that we have this morning comes to us. James and John are going to ask Jesus about the possibility of sitting at his right and his left hand in his glory. Just before that, Jesus had spoken very plainly, as Mark points out, plainly speaking about his coming passion and death and resurrection. It's the third time he has done that. He does it in chapter 8, chapter 9, and here we are in chapter 10. And it's the third time Jesus tells them very plainly what's going to happen. They're going to go up to Jerusalem. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be tried. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be put to death. And then on the third day, rise again. So, it's very clear, clear as day. Here's what James and John seem to be hearing. Messiah, Jerusalem. Messiah, Jerusalem. When the Messiah gets to Jerusalem, that's when the revolution will take place. That's when God will come down and deliver his people, and that way the Romans will be out and we will be in. They don't hear anything about the other stuff, it seems. Just like, imagine people who only hear what they want to hear. I know. You do?
Selective hearing,
right? I kind of feel like, I don't really blame James and John at all for, of course we all have that selective hearing. But let's just say this, James and John, just like the rich man last week, they're coming to Jesus and they really, they want in. They want to be with Jesus. And this is, to their credit, I think, it's really important that they're like, yeah, whatever's going to happen there, it's really going to be good, I think, and I want to be a part of it. I want to be there with you. And just a little aside on here, isn't that really a great invitation to prayer? Isn't it, like, how many of you actually ask God for truly what you really want? Right? What you really want. And how many of you edit that? Like, I remember years ago talking to some, and it was in a confirmation class, and I asked the kids the same question, and they were like, I really don't, because there's so much need in the world, and my little asking is, not really as important as, there's wars and there's sickness and there's famine and there's all the things going on in the world. I feel silly asking for what I want. Anybody that resonate with anybody? Mm-hmm. Right? But no. James and John are like, we want you to do whatever we want. I love it. And I think that is a great model for all of us. God, I want you to do whatever I want, and this is what I want. And let God, I guess really what I want to say about that is that that's the beginning of a conversation with God, right? And God will have something to say about it. And it's not like God's going to say, like with Samuel, Samuel and the king, God says, well, let me tell you what's going to happen if that happens. Or maybe you might want to rethink that. But the important thing about it is that there's a conversation now, right? There's a relationship. As opposed to, I'm not going to bother God today. As if there was not enough blessing in heaven for all of the horrible things in the world and me, right? No, that's not it. So I just love that they go and say, I want you to do forever, whatever we want. And I think we should practice that a little bit. What is it that we really want? And ask God and see what the continued conversation looks like. Okay, that's no extra charge. I think that's just really good. So we're going to get back to James and John now, and they come up and they have the sense that really Jesus is the Messiah, and we know what the Messiah does. The Messiah is the one who helps free Israel, and so that's what they're all thinking. And they ask, and Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking." Can you drink the cup? And to drink the cup is like, are you able to go through what I have to go through? And they don't really understand what that is yet. Or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. They don't know what that means either. but they say, yes, we can. And then Jesus says this, I can't give that to you. That's for who it was prepared for. I can't give that to you. I can't let you sit at my right and left hand in my glory because it's a sign for someone else. And as we go further in Mark's gospel, what we understand is that who is it that ends up at Jesus' right and left hand? The robbers, right? Yeah. And that means the cross is where Christ's glory shines forth. Not in the military liberation of Israel, but in the suffering, as we heard so beautifully read from Isaiah. Right? Now, what John and James and probably all the disciples had thought was, so just as this huge change happened when Samuel, when the people wanted a king, God was saying, I was their king, and I protected them. They want somebody else, okay. I think that the anticipation of Jesus as the Messiah in Jerusalem was, now we're going to reestablish the kingdom. The kingship. This is going to be great. And Jesus wants nothing to do with that. So this is what a king does. A king lords it over. You know how this is, he tells his disciples. You know what that king does, how in the Gentiles the leaders lord it over them. But among us, the leader is one who serves. The leader is the one who is a servant of all. And that just matches up beautifully with the cross, doesn't it? So the other day, I was called out. So many people in the community called me. They had run into a man in a wheelchair, and he was in the middle of the road, and these two women gathered him up, and they talked to him, and he said he wanted to go to Wenatchee to get on the bus, so they took him to the bus stop. But in the meantime, Virginia had stopped by or seen them, and so they knew that she knew this guy, and so they called me, and they said, this guy's down here, and would you please come and speak with him? I said, sure. So I go down to the bus stop, and two women are there. You all probably know them, Diane Peterson and Linda Sidlowski. And I'm walking up the street, and there is, of all people, Art. Do you remember Big Art?
Big Art, yeah.
Big Art? All right. Hadn't seen had Udo. Yeah. And he hadn't seen him in years. Probably, let's see, it's 2024. I haven't seen him since probably 8 years now. He moved away. He's back in town. There he is. When I last saw him, he had one prosthetic on one leg. Now he's got two. And he's stuck in his wheelchair. Can't go anywhere. But the image I want you to have is I'm walking up the street, and there's Art, and he's hunched over, and he's got a blanket over him, and to his right is Diane, and to his left is Linda. And I thought, oh, that's the spots that were reserved for those for whom they have been assigned, to the right and to the left of this suffering one. What an incredible image for this week. I just love when Jesus makes it easy for me. Right? There he is, and there they are, and they are attending to him. And we got him and got him up to the hospital, and they checked him out to make sure he was okay, and he was okay. Basically, he needs a place that's warm, so he thinks the hospital is the place. But anyway, all that, and then in the hospital is this: Art, under his blanket, had no pants on, and he said, well, I think I might have some pants in my back. He's got an old bag behind his seat, behind his wheelchair. And I go through there. I find a pair of pants, a pair of sweatpants. And I said, Art, do you think we can get these on you? And he goes, well, group and try. So I got to kneel down at the foot of this man and put his pants on, one prosthetic leg at a time, helped him up and got it, and put his pants on. No glory here. Not if you're thinking about glory the way the world is thinking about glory. But man, oh, what an honor to do that for him. What an honor. What heavenly glory. So James and John, they're looking for heavenly glory. And we are always looking for heavenly glory. And there are people out in the world now who are looking for glory and, you know, want to take power and run with it. And this body, the body of Christ, knows better. We simply know better. We know where to look for glory, for the glory of Jesus. We look at the cross and we look at the suffering in the world. And we say there is where the glory of God resides. How do we attend to it? How do we attend to it? And I know that you all tend to the glory of God in the world. I know that you're there feeding the hungry, collecting clothes for those who are naked, tending to the dying. In Peace at the Last, one of the things I write is that I wrote in the introduction was spending all this time making this liturgy, visiting the dying. In some ways, in the way of the world, it's a fool's errand. What are we doing? Making all this beauty for somebody who's going to be dead very soon. Well, what we're doing is tending to the glory of God among the dying, the forgotten, the sick, the lonely, the afraid, the oppressed. That's where the glory of God is. Let's not let anybody else tell us. Or put it another way, let's not get caught up into chasing after glory ourselves, the glory of the world. I'm afraid that there are many of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are caught up in that. And they're going to make glory. They're going to make the kingdom come. Here, every week we pray. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. And when we say that, we basically are saying to one another and to ourselves, as to help, saving, comforting, and defending ourselves, you're fired. It's not your job. Because when we try to help ourselves, save ourselves, defend, comfort ourselves, and defend ourselves, what happens? Well, we comfort ourselves in so many healthy ways, don't we? Or rise to our own defense. That's always usually really helpful. You're fired. We're fired from that. It is God who does that. In God's time. And in the meantime, we seek the glory of God in Christ Jesus at the cross. And then let God do all that. The body of Christ, seeking out Christ in the brokenness, seeing the glory of God there. You know what I want? What I want you to do for me, God? Is to open my eyes to see it every time it happens.
also want you, God, to forgive me every time I don't see it. And give me another opportunity to see it. That, I think, is good.